I thought it's as old as the woman you feel. Hallelujah. Yeah, be careful. I'm lekker groot back when my wife's not joy. She's actually watching me on a screen. It's good to have you here this morning. Before I get into this morning's message that the Lord has laid on my heart, some news that we'd like to share with some folks. You know, everybody has an opinion. And the challenge is that everybody thinks that their opinion counts. And an opinion is like a, let me just say armpit. Opinion is like an armpit. Everybody's got one, and sometimes it stinks. But there's some uncertainties concerning where we're at, and some rumors have been spread. And sometimes the grapevine and the gossip vine spreads a lot faster than any cell phone network can spread for us. So we just want to clear the light this morning. It has been several years. Some people think it just happened overnight or too quickly, in their opinion. It's been several years that we've been seeking the Lord's face concerning a new premises. For the longest time, since we moved into Duncanville, we had the privilege of being able to use that place rent-free. Then things changed where we started to need to pay rent, and we outgrew that, had to get the hall across the road, outgrew that. Then we got the building next door, outgrew that, etc. And then it came a time where God laid on our hearts to start looking for our own premises. So it's taken several years of really seeking the Lord's face and not just rushing out and doing something. In the beginning of the year, we got together with a team and we started to pray about it fervently and say, God, we're not looking for a building, because what's important is the building that you're busy making, and that's the people, because we're the living stones. But we want to say, Lord, you know, either we can continue to put the finances that you entrust us with into somebody else's account, or we can own our own place, God willing. We started to pray, and we felt clearly, got confirmation that the Lord is leading us in a direction to get a place of our own, which is the place that you're sitting in here today. So it wasn't long. When God moves, God moves. When God moves, God moves. And we got to hear about this place. We checked it out. We came here with the entire Handlebar team. We prayed about it carefully, and there was 100% consensus on the team. It's not like, oh, you know, here's Mozzie, there's this dream that he has, and let's just like go out and buy a building and get everybody into debt. That's not what happened. So we sought the face of the Lord and got clear direction from God that this is what we needed to do. That was on a particular Sunday. After we had celebration that side, we came through here, took everybody through the place and considered it prayerfully. And then we needed to see the owners on a particular day, on a Wednesday. We came here on a Wednesday afternoon, said to the owners, look, we're keen and stuff like that. This is how much it's in the market for. The finances that we're receiving on a monthly basis there, and the cost that we had to cover that side, enabled us to afford a bond to pay for this place. So we spoke to the owners on the Wednesday during the day. Before the sun set Wednesday, this place was fully paid for cash. Fully paid for. I want to say this to you. People have said, yes, Satan also tempted Jesus with all the riches in the earth and dangles a carrot in front of you. True. But Satan ain't going to pay for anything that glorifies the name of Jesus and changes people's lives with the power and the love of the Lord Jesus Christ. He just ain't going to do that. That was a sovereign miracle from God. And we give God thanks and praise for that. So we kept it secret from the folks for various reasons. People who do not know how our hearts and do not know me probably think there was something underhanded about it. But this is the reason. We wanted to make sure it went through. We wanted to make sure the transfer of deeds had taken place and was registered in our name. And what we wanted to do was wait till everybody was in here and started to enjoy the place and got excited with us. Okay? When Jesus was here and did miracles, not everybody was excited about it. For those who have a kingdom mindset will get excited with us and rejoice that God has done something special in our midst. And God has paid for this place. Not because we are Olek, but because God as God. So if there's any blessed brother or blessed sister that is differently minded to that, I encourage you, please seek the Lord's face and let God speak His truth into your heart concerning what God has done here. And let's just, all of us, myself included, take our opinions, put them aside, and just receive what God has done. Would you believe with us that God is good? Would you rejoice with us in faith that God is good? And if somewhere along the line we've missed God completely, don't you think there's grace for when we make a mistake? That we can say, Lord, sorry that we missed you. Do you think that there's room for grace and repentance if we've missed God? Until such time, let's continue to give God glory and praise for what he has done. So, that doesn't mean that you need to stop honoring God with his tithes and your finances. In fact, the financial responsibility now is even greater because we don't have a landlord to phone and come fix stuff. We've got to do it ourselves and we've got to carry the cost ourselves. So we want to encourage you, please continue. If this is where you feel you have pledged your loyalty and the place where you show your faithfulness over here, if you have that loyalty in your heart. If not, God bless you. Be faithful where God has called you to be faithful. But if it is here, we want to encourage you to continue to see God's face and bring his tithes and offerings to him in this place over here. When you own a place like this, has been said before, when you own a castle, you've got to pay to fix the windows. We already have a building project which is on the go. It's taken us a substantial amount of money. You can remember what that place on my right-hand side looked like, what it looks like now. Go in there and see. We do not have a money tree growing in the back where you can go and just pick the money off there. That needed to be financed. And for the folks that continuously and faithfully contribute to the kingdom of God, thank you from the bottom of our hearts and give yourselves a round of applause. Bless you for that. You know who you are and you live a blessed life because God is good and because you are obedient. The next phase of our building project, and it's a continuous thing, is to build a 20-meter by 10-meter facility at the back for the youth and the different age groups and the kiddies' classrooms and stuff like that for the place where they can celebrate and rejoice because this little place here, that is net te klein. Since we've got here, and in fact since I've got here, the place that the children have now to be tutored and trained and raised up in the things of God is smaller than it has ever been. But God is busy working. As we've proven faithful with another man's possessions on that side, God is now entrusted with our own. And in his time, we will receive what God has for us. Is everybody okay with that? I hope that it puts to rest any questions or rumors that people may have about, is this of God? And you've taken out your little spiritual thermometer and gauged it. All I know is that God has done a sovereign, miraculous move, and we're excited about that. And please just humor us and just get excited with us, if that's okay. Everybody okay? Hallelujah. God is good all the time, and all the time, God is good. You don't have to raise your hands, but how many of you... And I'm expect it nie uit oor ons nie. Okay, so moet asseblief nie sê jy daai ou spreek negativiteit oor my uit. Just read how the psalmists complained and said where they are, I'm poor and broken in spirit. How many of you at times, there are times where you just feel, I'm not saying you are, but you feel sick and tired of being sick and tired. Okay, jy's net moeg. Especially, jy's moeg geploeg, man. Jy's moeg verby. You just not list for anything or anyone. I gauge myself like it. I'm a people person. I love everybody and you're next. But when I start getting tired of people, then I know, Mozzie, it is time to rest. Okay? And if you're at a place, especially like that, when we get to this time of the year, you guys just mind starting the... Is that where we are already? 8 minutes, you have started. Hey, ek moet vinnig preek. I thought that's the time, but it's not. That's how long I've been water-watering. You get to a time, at this time of the year, where you're just tired. And you look forward to a holiday. You look forward to taking a break. And we need times of refreshing. That's the title of this morning's message. Times of refreshing. And there's wonderful promises that God has for us for times of refreshing. But there's a process to get there. I want to lay a foundation with this verse, and it comes from the book of Acts. And in Afrikaans, it's handelinge, handelings. In English, handelings chapter 3 and verse 19 says, repent. Everybody say, repent. No, everybody, please, repent. Repent, therefore, and be converted, that your sins may be blotted out, so that times of refreshing may come from the presence of the Lord. God, the reason that we are is to celebrate Jesus and to seek your face and to get you to change our hearts and to be more like you. Father, we come to fellowship and enjoy your company, your presence. But we need refreshing from you, Lord. We need your presence. We need you to transform us, Lord, in the name of Jesus Christ. So, Father, today, I've got nothing clever to say, Lord. My preaching can do nothing. But you, Holy Spirit, the preacher, can minister your truth and life into our hearts. Lord, please change us today. Help us to be more like Jesus than before we came and to be more in love with you when we go home. In Jesus' name, amen. Repent, therefore, and be converted that your sins may be blotted out so that times of refreshing may come from the presence of the Lord. It's a difficult, challenging times, a time of the year. And historically, a time I served in the police service and also now today, those of you that are involved in emergency medical services and in trauma counseling, etc., will know that it's a very traumatic time of the year. The suicide rates escalate at this time of the year because it's a difficult time and it's a challenging time. But we serve a living God. So there's a deep refreshing that can only be experienced when God recharges our batteries like nobody else can. There's a deep refreshing. And times of refreshing comes when there's a certain process that takes place in our lives. And the sense of rest that we want to emphasize here is not doing nothing. Because how many of you know you can be sitting doing nothing, but can be so busy here. En daar kan soveel worsteling hiersou wees dat jy soms jy raak nie slaap maar jy rus nie. Now, whether you sleep 3 hours or 13 hours, you just don't feel rested. There's no peace in your soul. And what we're talking about is God transforming our lives where that takes place. How many of you need some of that this morning? Say, Lord, I need rest. I need that refreshing in my soul. Right, so that's what we're going to look at today. And this sense of rest can only become when we let God charge our batteries. This sense of rest is not emphasizing doing nothing. It is letting the truth of God's promises for your life change you. Did you get that? Letting the truth of God's promises for your life change you. Nie jy mag nie en jy kan nie en jy doen verkeerd. Wie van ons het enigiemand nodig om vir ons te sê, ons maak droog? Nobody. We know when we're making dry. Ons weet wanneer ons aanjaag. We know that. So the last thing you need, sometimes you might be doing something where you really don't know that it's displeasing to God and you need somebody to come alongside you and say, with a Bible on the arm, hey, turn or burn. No, somebody to come lovingly alongside you and say, my brother, my sister, this is not going to work out good for you. How can I help you? Let's pray together. Okay? So this is where you allow, this refreshing is when you allow the promises of God's word for you to change your life and to refresh you. However, there's a process. It says, repent therefore that you may be converted so that your sins may be blotted out and then the times of refreshing will come. So quickly, let's go through that process. Repentance. Re means to return and pent means at the top. Right at the top. Like, repent, return to the top. A penthouse in a building is at the top. Okay, so repent means to return to the top, return to the ideals that God has for you. It says repentance. So repentance needs to take place first before there will ever be any real change in our hearts. You see, when I make dry, wanneer ek droog maak, I'm sorry, and you know, I can be a little bit sorry and a little bit of regret, and you know, sometimes regret is when you're just sorry that you've been caught out. There's a difference. There's a difference. You're just sorry that you've been caught out. You're not really remorseful before God. Well, Lord, this is what I'm doing. It's destroying my life, Lord. It's destroying my soul. It's harming others, Lord. It's not boding well for my future, God. So repentance is where you realize this and say, God, there must be a better way for me. That's what it is. There must be a better way for me. It has to take place before there's real change. And confession is acknowledging that I've done something wrong. You confess. People speak about a professional sportsman and a professional. The word profession means just that, to profess, to speak, to declare, to teach. So a professional sportsman, they paid entertainers. They can conduct themselves in a professional manner. As a business person, you can have a vocation where you can conduct yourself in a professional manner. But profession and confession is this, where you declare and say, Woody, ek besef, ek het droog gemaak. I am now sinning. Repentance is this. Repentance is doing something about it. Confession, Lord, I'm sorry. I'm sorry that I'm eating this table. I'm sorry, Lord. Lord, I'm sorry that I'm eating this table. What am I doing? I'm saying I'm sorry, but I haven't changed a thing. I haven't changed. Okay. Repentance is, Lord, I'm sorry that I'm eating this table. I realize it's damaging and my tablet will probably fall off now. Lord, I'm sorry, Lord, I need to stop. Repentance is turning my back and moving away. That's what repentance is. So repentance is doing something about it, moving in the opposite direction. What I'm going to share with you now is very, very deep. It was only in my seventh year of attaining my theological degree that I got this revelation. Are you ready for it? Here is deep word. Change isn't change until there's change. Did you get that? That's deep, ne? Change isn't change until there's change. So repentance is when you do something about realizing that what you're doing is wrong and you change. You move in the opposite direction, my brother, my sister. That has to take place first. Repent. Repentance has to take place. Therefore, it says, repent therefore and be converted. The next step is, repent therefore and be converted. What is conversion? The only thing that can really, really change a person. Wives, if you married a oak and he's based on Bicky Drugtemark and you think, you know what, I'm going to change him once I marry him. Bye, snacks. You can't do that, man. And if he starts manifesting his streke, you knew what you were getting yourself in for. That's all I'm saying. I'm not saying we're unsympathetic to your plight, but you knew exactly what you were getting yourself in for. Okay. So the only thing that can really change a person's heart is the Word of God. And then, if we don't let Him, the Bible says it's that our traditions renders the Word of God powerless. What a hopeless place to be in, folks, where our traditions and us refusing to change renders the Word of God powerless. Instead of coming before God in humility, meekness of heart, being soft and pliable in the hands of God and say, God, I don't have the answers, Lord, but I know a change needs to take place. Lord, just please fix me. That's what that means. Conversion. Repent, therefore, and be converted. That's conversion is when God really changes us. Ezekiel 36 and verse 26 says, God says, I will give you a new heart and I will put a new spirit in you. I will take out your stony heart, stubborn heart, and give you a tender, responsive heart. Some translations say, I'll remove your heart of stone and give you a heart of flesh. We are sensitive to the things of God. God does that when we allow the Word of God to change us. And Romans 12, verse 1 and 2 speaks about us having our mind renewed through the washing and rejuvenation of God's Word. What does God's Word say about the situation? What does God's Word require of me? What promise is there in God's Word that can give me hope? What promise is there in God's Word that will give me wisdom to speak into the situation, get God's wisdom to bring about real change in my life? This will only happen if we allow God to change us. So Pastor Mozzie gets a message from God and he preaches his heart out. And some people go, yeah. And some people are like, wow, jy het net met my gepraat. You know who you are. Many people have come to me and said, Mozzie, today you were speaking just to me. No, I was doing nothing. I was hearing from God, and guess what? You also heard from God. When God speaks to you, it's one message, jylle, maar almal kry ietsie daaruit. Isn't it incredible? That's when God speaks, when we allow Him to speak into our lives. We need to allow Him to speak into our lives. Listen to this. We will never grow beyond our area of disobedience. Ouch. You, that rattled my cage. We will never grow beyond our area of disobedience. That area, that place in your life where you are disobedient, you're not going to grow past that. Because God is a master builder and He cares for you. He wants to build properly. He builds properly. He doesn't just spook and pluck, copy and paste. He doesn't do that. He wants to build properly. We're not going to grow past our area of disobedience. This disobedience may take on many forms, where you do what you're not supposed to do, or you don't do what you are supposed to do. It might be an area of forgiveness. It might be an area of picking up a Christian responsibility. It might be, I don't know, make some change in your life for something. I don't know. You'll know. You'll know. If you allow the Holy Spirit to speak to you, He will. So, conversion takes place. Repent, therefore, and be converted. Conversion is the second step. The third step, this we can do nothing about. This we can rejoice and celebrate as Christians because it's one of the many things that makes Christianity unique. People say, oh, no, we all believe in the same God. No, we don't. My God is not a little elephant that drinks milk. My God is not a God with all these arms and stuff like that. That's not my God. My God is the God of the Bible, the God who made heaven and earth, the God who sent His Son Jesus, the God who has made us in His image. That's my God, the God of the Bible. He hasn't changed since forever. That's my God. Okay. The third step is having our sins blotted out. Only God can do that. And the thing that makes Christianity unique, as opposed to any other system of faith, is that the salvation and the eternal well-being and the eternal blessing of the believers is based on what God has already done and not what they have to do to earn a place somewhere. Only Christianity, folks, is like that. Every other form of religion requires some kind of dedicated, relentless discipline in some form of deed. That is why you can find people can be so disciplined in doing the things they do because they know or they believe that if they don't do this, they're just not going to make it. They're so dedicated and committed in what they do. And they are so sincere, but they are sincerely wrong. That's my child. The pastor's children is always the naughtiest in the church. So that's what it is. And this blotting out of sins is something that only... I can't help but laugh. I'm trying to be spiritual, yeah. That's something that only God can do. And the good news is, my brother, my sister, you want to hear good news this morning? It's already done. It's already done. When Jesus breathed His last on the cross, He said, "It is finished." That was the visible work that He'd done, was finished. Then for 3 days He went. He took that authority of sin, death, and the grave away from the devil. Revelations 5 says He took the keys away. Key is a symbol of authority and access to. That's why when we turn 21, we get a key. Hallelujah. Remember that. Wie van julle het sleutels gekry? Wat kry julle vandag? Kry nog steeds sleutels? Jy kry 'n sleutel. Ek weet nie. Ek weet nie. You get something. Or you get nothing. I don't know. So that's what happened. It's already completed. Jesus paid the price for our sins so that our sins can be blotted out. When God forgives, He does a proper job. Okay? He does a proper job. You know what's sad today? So many, well-meaning people in the body, they're helping the devil out. Because the devil is the accuser of the brethren. Dan kom ons na mense toe en sê, jy het dit, jy het die, jy doen daai, jy is so, jy... Rarig, okay? If you heard from God, then you would say that, but there'll be confirmation of that. Am I making sense? There'll be confirmation of that, you know? So, God, when He forgives, He does a proper job. So, please don't help the devil by accusing people. That's the devil's job. You know, as Christians especially, Christians can be some of the most sensitive and judgmental people out there. We get so offensive when people like do things like against Jesus or, you know. I'm not saying don't speak up when you need to speak up. Just let the Holy Spirit of God guide you in Jesus' name. But how did Jesus respond when they accused Him? He kept quiet. Accused Him of all sorts of things. He kept quiet, you know. Number one, he did, they accused Him of something. So be very careful when you say, you know, the Lord told me this and that about you and stuff like that. If you hear from God, speak it. I think it's safer to say, you know, I just sense the Lord laid this on my heart. I want to share this with you. Does that make sense? Can you relate to what I'm saying? You say that to the person. Say, the Lord has said. Okay, and if He hasn't, you're actually a false prophet. Yeah, you just go study that in your own time, okay? Right, so our sins are blotted out. Psalm 103 and verse 12. He has removed our sins. And this, for me, I get excited about this because I need this. I need this. He has removed our sins as far as the east is from the west. So far has He removed our sins from us. Hallelujah. I'm so glad that I don't have to be associated with my past anymore. I can't get away from my past. My past is always part of my history. But we can turn around and celebrate the past and say, that is what God has forgiven me of. That is what God has delivered me from. It's part of my past, but that's how I was. This is how I am now. And God is still working in my life. Watch out, world. Here I come. Somebody get excited, please. Come on, that's how God can do that for us. You know, on said, it's on the eight to sin. Something to get excited about. You're not just, oh, are you that oak that done? Yeah, I am. But I'm also the guy who's now forgiven, who's since come to know Jesus. And God has done this in my life. The Lord has shown me this miracle. And this, you know, I don't have all the answers. I haven't arrived, but I'm on my way. I haven't arrived, but I'm on my way. Hey, I'm excited about this. I don't know, Lord. So He's removed our sins from us as far as the east is from the west. You know why? Because those two hemispheres are impossible to meet each other. You, it's good news. So you can't go to God and say, Lord, remember when I was 6, I done this and that, and you know, and then I was 13, and God's like, no, you know, and I repented of that, and God is like, no, yeah, but Lord, surely you remember when I was 16, I done this, and yeah, but Lord, remember what I done with the neighbor's wife and what I done with this money, and you repented of it, and God is like, no, no, why? Isaiah 43 and verse 25. I am He who blots out your transgressions. Look at this. Not for your sakes, He says, but for my own sake. What? Oh, people, get this morning. What benefit is there for God to forgive you of your sins? Speak to me. Come, all you theologians and qualified whoever's. Come. What benefit is there for God to forgive you or me of my sins? What benefit? Oh, yes, there is. Oh, yes, there is. Whew, this is good. This is good. It benefits God because He gets to spend an eternity with you. No, no, wait. No, no. You didn't get that. He gets to spend an eternity with you because that's what He wants. There's nothing in this whole world, in all of creation, that He would like more than anything else than to spend an eternity with you. And that's how He benefits. So when it says here, I blot out your transgressions for my own sake because I want you, my child. I want you. I want you. I want you. I no longer want you to be a victim of the devil or a subject of the enemy. Or to be the devil's plaything, to mess your life up in health, finances, and relationships. I want you for myself. Yo, that's incredible. He blots out your transgressions for my own sake, He says. And I will not remember your sins. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. When we repent. Provided we repent. So the third point there is having our sins blotted out. And as we start to close, then refreshing comes. Refreshing comes. Kobus gister het met ons gedeel geval waar hulle was iewers in die wildernis. And the guy was, he was gliding, Kobus, and then something happened. And now you get these gliders where you glide up and it's just the sail. It's just the wing. It's called a wing. And you can glide down lekker. And then you get these ones that are motorized. There's one, sir. Fan. So good at fan achter jou, nee. So in Auckland with a massive propeller, with an engine strapped to your back in harness, and it's what did it blast? Alles te mekaar, nee. It just blows, and you fly with those. And something happened where he had to carry this thing and walk. Ek dink dit was op die strand gewees met hierdie rugsak ding agter op sy rug, nee, dis groot, dis 'n engine en 'n propeller en die wing en alles aan. And Kobus name saw this outcoming, and Kobus being a wingman himself, and he's Kobus flies and stuff like that with the birds and so on. It's baie geestelike ou hierdie. He does that, and then he saw this guy walking, and realized, nee, hierdie ou is in die moeilikheid, hoor. He's going to do something about this. And he thought, no, I'm not just going to go there, I'm going to go prepared, man. And I done the real Christian thing, and he bought cool drinks, sommer twee van hulle. And he goes to the oak, and hierdie ou het niks gevra nie, hy het homself nie voorgestel nie, hy het die kans gegee dat hulle hulle self voorstel, and he just grabbed one of these things, and he just downed it. And then he hit the second one, and then he realized, oh, bye bye donkey. Then he could say thank you. Why? Because he had to quench that thirst. Why? Because that refreshing came. That refreshing came. And this process, guys and ladies, at this time, God wants to refresh you, recharge you deep, deep, deeply, that you're ready to face the new year, what the devil has, what the world has, what people has, the challenges with church life. How many of you know church life is challenging? Boy, oh boy, it's challenging. Refreshing. It's tremendously liberating, living in the freedom that God provides. It's liberating. John 8:36 says, if the Son sets you free, you are truly free. You're truly free. But you know what? It's wonderful to know that God is there to catch us when we fall. And it's wonderful to have that great freedom. But with great freedom comes great responsibility. With great freedom. Freedom in grace doesn't mean I can mark as what I smart because there's grace. I can do what I want. When I'm finished messing up, I just ask God to forgive me and I can carry on and on. And no, you can't. Vat jy saai, sal jy maai. What you sow, you will reap. The wheel turns, or whatever you want to call it. That's what happens. We have incredible freedom under grace. But there's always, always, always consequences. So with great freedom comes great responsibility. And our responsibility is to use the grace we've been given very, very wisely. Grace. My brother, my sister, does not mean freedom to sin. It doesn't mean that. Grace just means you have the privilege of living out the calling that God places on your life. Now, please don't think, oh, Mozzie, you called because you stand there with the microphone and it's wara, wara, wara. No, if you're a Christian, you called to be an ambassador of the kingdom of God. You called to be a carrier of the hope of Jesus Christ. You called to be a godly example. You called to be a world changer. You called to be salt. You called to be light. You are called, if you're a born-again, spirit-filled man or woman or child of God. There's a calling on your life. And just as the Father sent Jesus, Jesus said, so send I you. Go therefore and make disciples. The vision of this church. Yes, the venue and the name has changed, but the vision ain't. In fact, it's stronger than ever before. Is to do just that, to fulfill God's call on our lives. Bringing the unchurched into the family of God to advance His kingdom. That's what we're called to do. So it's tremendously refreshing. It's going to require work and effort to receive this. There's steps that you're going to require. And our laboring and our striving must be this. And yeah, it's like it's a two-edged sword. And this verse I'm going to read out of the King James, not the New King James. The King James puts it like this. It's in Hebrews 4 and verse 11. It says, let us labor therefore. So there is a work involved. Labor therefore to enter into the rest, lest any man fall after the same example of unbelief. The example they speak about is the disobedient Israelites before. So the laboring and our striving, my brother, my sister, this season. If you're going to labor, if you're going to strive, if you're going to struggle, let it be to enter into the rest of God. Okay. So our labor must be with the goal of resting in God's presence. God's presence will give you peace, even in the midst of your fiercest battles. Peace doesn't mean when the fighting is stopped. Peace means that when the battle is raging hottest around you, you know you can your skipper. You know your God. You have peace knowing that there's deliverance, that there's protection, there's supernatural provision, there's guidance. And folks, not necessarily answers. You know, oftentimes we pray and we ask God for things. We want answers where God just wants our company. And that must be sufficient for us. We just enjoy, just knowing that God is there, knowing that He loves us, that we loved, might not necessarily mean getting an answer from God, but just knowing that God is there. God, the work on the cross is completed. There's grace, there's forgiveness. There's a family of believers that we can be part of. There's brothers and sisters to help us through difficult times. There's the blood of Jesus. There's faith. There's the word of God. There's the confession of our mouth. There's angels that protect us. There's positive confession when you confess the word. There's all these things that we have in our arsenal of weaponry to keep us strong and to get that peace. That peace. Just peace. Peace. Last scripture and then I'm done. And then we're going to recap. Philippians 4, verse 6 to 7. Don't worry about anything. Instead, pray about everything. Tell God what you need and thank Him for all He has done. Then you will experience God's peace, which exceeds anything we can understand. His peace will guard your hearts and minds as you live in Christ Jesus. Father, we long for that. We thank you for that, Lord. As you recap this morning, it says, repent therefore and be converted, that your sins may be blotted out, so that times of refreshing may come from the presence of the Lord. The process and the steps are simple. Just repent. Turn away. Let there be change. Conversion. Let God change our hearts. Give us new hearts. Sins blotted out. Realizing and believing that you're forgiven. And then times of refreshing will come. Well, brother, my sister, as you're seated here this morning and the deep end gets ready to lead us in a time of worship one more time, I want to ask you, if you're at a place in your life where you know you need that refreshing, you know the areas of your life where you've been struggling. The year has come and gone, Mensa. 2023 is around the corner. Dis hier op ons deurdrempel. God willing, we'll get to see it. And there's an area of your life you just haven't experienced breakthrough. You haven't experienced that refreshing that you need. And you need this refreshing. You need that rest in your mind. You need that peace in your spirit. You know that you need that. Would you just pray with me this morning and say, Lord, that's me. If that's you this morning, just raise your hands this morning with us together. Say, Lord, that's me. Die Here sien ons harte raak. Hy sien waar ons is. I'm not going to call anybody up or anything like that. If you're serious about doing business with God, say, Lord, see my heart this morning. I come before you, Lord God. We sang that song, Lord, send rain, this dry and thirsty rain. Lord, we need your water. Send rain, and refresh our weary souls. And if you need to repent, just right there where you're seated, just say, Lord, forgive me. I'm sorry. Lord, my motives were pure. I had the best intentions. The Portuguese proverb says that the road to destruction is paved with good intentions. So, Lord, I ask that you just forgive me, Father. Forgive me, Lord God. I repent and I turn in the opposite direction, go the other way. Lord, I'm sorry. Repent, therefore, and be converted, that your sins may be blotted out and that times of refreshing may come from the presence of the Lord. Lord, I want to experience that in my life as I go into this season. I pray that I'm using this time to remind myself of the fact that there was a time when Jesus was born into this world. Who cares what date it is? And I celebrate that. Pray, Lord God, that I can experience a time of refreshing in my life for myself and for my family. And Lord, I pray that I can be a source of refreshing for my loved ones as I speak into people's lives and encourage them, Lord God, and be there for them. Even in my emptiness and my brokenness, Lord, I want to be there for people. I want to be a son of encouragement. Somebody that encourages others and uplifts them. Lord, I want to be like that person. Holy Spirit, refresh me. Jesus' name, refresh me. And Lord, as men and women, as we lift up our hands, would you stand with us as we get ready to worship the Lord one more time this morning? Everybody, please. As we lift up our hands in surrender to you, Lord God, we ask, send that rain of refreshing. Let it come, Lord God. Let it bring healing and ministry into our hearts. Lord, where no human words can help, Lord God, would you speak your ministering life and power into our hearts and our lives in the name of Jesus. And we thank you for that. In Jesus' name. And all God's people said, amen and amen. May Almighty God bless you and keep you, make His face shine upon you, be gracious to you. May God lift up His countenance over you and give you peace. Thank you so much for coming. Is next week Sunday Christmas? Is it? Hallelujah. We're going to celebrate the fact that Jesus was born into this world. It wasn't His birthday, we know that, but we're going to celebrate that fact that He came. He was born unto us. A son is given. Celebrate, invite friends, invite family. Everybody's welcome. Until then, God bless you.